this on. Pardon my interruption, but I want to thank you all. We probably just need to have an invitation and go home after all that. But I do want to thank you all for keeping your New Year's resolution by saying you're going to be in church every Sunday this year, being that this is the first Sunday of 2016. Don't break it next week. And or probably some of you, or maybe a lot of you, are here. Is this on? Is it on? Do I know if I'm on? I'm looking to see if I'm on. You don't know? It's all the way over onto on. I'm just trying to make sure I'm on. Okay, I don't need a microphone anyway, but they think they need it. But most of you are probably here today because you're here for confession. Yes, it was because of you that Purdue blew it yesterday. And so I hope that at the end of this service you will confess your sin so that this does not happen again. Is Ray here? Oh, Ray is not here. He would have been rejoicing today. Or you, most of you, are just here to hear the better brother, that's all. And thank you for being here today. Keith, good to see you. Man, we got a lot of old friends and faces and all that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 16 this morning. And you can put a finger there and turn over to Matthew 28. So Mark 16 and Matthew 28 for our scripture reading this morning, for our text. I'm going to begin in Mark. Page 1069, for those of you that need to know. Mark 16, 15. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye, now this is for every Christian, go ye into all the world, or literally the earth, and preach the gospel. That means tell the good news of Jesus to every creature, not just selective evangelism. And we find out in Matthew 28, if you go over there, page 1044, Matthew 28, beginning with a familiar passage of Scripture, probably all of you could quote it. Beginning of verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that my words this morning will be acceptable in your sight. God, I pray that you will give me the attention of the next few minutes of these people as we present a great work. In Jesus' name, amen. Here Christ gives us, in this verse, these verses, the authority to evangelize, to baptize, and to catechize. If you don't know what catechize is to learn what you have learned all your life and to reproduce it and to give it to somebody else and teach them what you already know. How many of you have children? How many of you never taught your child the colors? And how many of you ever taught your child, oh, this is red, this is the only time you're going to hear it, this is the only time you're going to hear it, so remember that this color is red. No. What do we do with our children? We tell it to them over and 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 over. And then when they think that they have it, we tell it to them again. Several more times, until one day they say, I'm on my own, Dad. You've taught me, or Mom, you've taught me everything that you can teach me. And then a few years after that, they come back and say, will you teach me some more? When they have children of their own. But yet we come to church, and we hear another message, and we go, oh, we've heard that one before. We've heard that one before. You know what? You never have to hear that if it would sink in. And you would grasp a hold of it. But guess what? We're all humans. We have to learn over and over and over. And a lot of times we have to learn them from our mistakes. But what we see in this passage of Scripture is that this is a command. It's not a, oh, I would like for you if you have time in your personal schedule to do this. No, it is a command. We as Christians have been charged with a specific, particular task It is our duty and command to do this. We are required to go. That means to move out and to get going. We are literally under orders from God. Dr. Wilder, a dynamic missionary leader years ago in the country of India, was dining with three naval officers. The story goes, during the course of the conversation, one of the officers remarked, "Why don't any of these missionaries just stay at home and mind their own business?" Dr. Wilder replied, "Suppose you were ordered to take your battleship into the battlefield tomorrow. Would you choose whether to obey or not?" And the officer retorted, "If we are ordered to go, then we must go, even if every ship is sunk and every sailor is killed." And Dr. Wilder said, "Quite right. I have orders from the divine government to go and preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize them and to train them to go and do it all over again." And so when you become a Christian, you are enlisted into God's army. You remember that song as a child? I'm in the Lord's army. You know, we had just, sir, and we did the salute and we marched and everything else. We are still in God's army. If you are breathing this morning, you are still in God's army. We have been given our orders by our commanding officer, and listen, folks, we must obey it. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. The second thing is, it's also imperative. This means that as you are going in your daily life, it is your supreme goal to witness and be witnesses for Christ whenever and wherever you are at. I go walking a lot in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood has gone downhill, and my wife says, "Be careful every time I go out the door. I want you to come home in one piece." And so I go walking. And throughout this walk, I have encountered a lot of homeless gentlemen. And I have struck up conversations with them. And I have one of them actually has been attending our church now since Easter. But there was a second one. Second one was a Vietnam veteran. He hated everything. Had been out on the streets for many years. He had used drugs and he had just messed his life up. And he didn't know what to do. And so for the last 6 months, I kind of took him under his wing, got his ID back for him, got a lot of things that he needed to get done. And then his identity was stolen. Somebody had taken his only means of Social Security and had gone into and stolen it every month. And so I had to go help him with that. And every day I'm trying to help him and getting on track. And I would bring him up once a week to our gymnasium and our rec center and let him take a shower. And things like that. And I would drive him up to the post office because his feet were really bad. And one particular day, he had a court case. And I said, "It's at 1:30. He goes, "Oh, I'll take the bus over there." And so the next day, I went over to where he normally hung out, and I didn't see him. And the next day after that, I didn't see him. And 3 days later, I got a phone call from the police department saying they had found him dead. And I was just hoping and I'm praying that I just said, "God, I hope that something that we said in our conversation sunk in, that he realized that you were the true God." There was a time that he looked at all different religions. He grew up Catholic. I don't know, but I know one thing. Every time I was with him, there was an opportunity to present the gospel. And he goes, "I know, it sounds so easy, but I think it's so hard." And he would tell me that all the time. And I went to his funeral, and he was honored by the military. It was a tremendous funeral. But I said, none of this matters. The only thing that matters is that we go, we plant the seed. We all think that we have to be the one that lead them to Christ. But all we have to do is plant the seed. And that's what God's saying. Just go. Tell your testimony to somebody. You don't need the Romans road. Tell somebody how you accepted Christ as your Savior. That's it. That's all you need. And so the command was given. It was given to the disciples back in Acts chapter 8, or 1 in verse 8, where it gave the specific geographical locations. And all these geographical locations were carried out. We saw that in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, that Jerusalem had been witnessed to. And then in Acts 5, Judea and Samaria. And this is a real interesting fact. If you look in John 4, 9, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But yet the scripture was fulfilled that the gospel went to Judea and Samaria. And then in Acts 8:26, it went to the remainder of the earth. Recently, I've been doing my own personal devotions has been on the early church. And I think many of the churches in America have gotten away from the church that we see in Acts. Because we see a big growth in the book of Acts. It went from 12, the original disciples, to 120 in Acts 1:15, to over 3,000 in 2:41, and then well over 5,000 in 2:47. The gospel of Jesus Christ was spreading at a rapid pace. But how did this happen so quickly? Because they were together and they were devoted. According to our scripture reading this morning, to the apostles' teaching, they were devoted to fellowship, breaking of bread, which we're going to do here in a minute, prayer. They did this not only at church, but they also did it in their homes. Literally, the first small groups, praising God, had favor with people, and the Lord blessed them. The Lord blessed them. Greenbush Street Baptist Church started with, I believe, three families at a home. At a home. God can do miraculous things. And throughout the 30-plus years where it all started back in the 1970s, how many people have been affected and lives have been changed because my dad had a vision to start a church? If we follow this pattern of the early church, we can look at it this way. Jerusalem is our local ministry, meeting the needs in our churches and doing what we can to meet those needs. And the needs, yes, are great. But then we need to branch out into Judea and Samaria. That's our community, where you and I live. This is Lafayette and West Lafayette, Indiana. And I look out and I see us going nuts at a basketball game and wonder how many of those people are going to be in church the next day.
Thank you very much.
You know, how many of them are? We go nuts at all these events. And I went nuts last night that first half. It was a good first half, and then Rick Mount came out, and he got us all pumped up, and then I don't know what happened the second half. They just did not show up. But we need to reach our community somehow, if it's just little by little, little things that you can do. My reaching my community is the people that I in contact every time I go walking. That's my little community. It doesn't have to be you have to do it as a church. You can do it as yourself. Reach your community, and then the world. That is the missions, and that's where I want to focus today, because the third point is missions is the heart of God. Most of you know the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out to look for the one. He goes and looks for the one, and we see right after that parable that Jesus said, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. We see in John 3:16, we all know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but to have everyone come to repentance. The Great Commission that we read just a moment ago in Matthew is repeated one way or another in four more times within Scripture. In Mark 16, Luke 24, John 17, and Acts 1. You know, if Jesus mentions it one time, it's important. But if he mentions something five times, I think we need to wake up and listen. I can't remember where I heard this, but I love this statement. If we would follow the heart of God and obey the command of Christ, we will have a heart for evangelism and missions, both here and abroad. Let me repeat that. If we would follow the heart of God, now remember, I just said the heart of God is missions, and obey the command of Christ, we will have a heart for evangelism and missions, both here and abroad. My desire for missions began way back in 1992. I attended U Specialties Conference. A lot of things happened at this U Specialties Conference. This is when my brother said, called me on the phone. I called him to find out how things were going. And he said, you need to ask Kathleen out on a date. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. He's calling me to say, you need to ask her out on a date. And I go, no. I don't date anybody like, you know, it's ever gone to my youth group. Nothing like that. Nope. And he goes, now listen to me. I'm your wiser brother. You need to ask her out. So we came back. This was in September. We came back, and he and a good friend of ours, Jim Tall. Now, Terry used to have this dog called Smokey. I don't know if any of you ever remember that dog or not, but he had a dog called Smokey. And Smokey was a brilliant dog because Terry had trained him very well. And whatever Smokey said to do, you had to do it. And so Smokey evidently had made 500 copies of his picture, and it said, Smokey says, marry her, and it was a picture of Kathleen. And a whole ream of paper was 500, and he went in there and taped them all to my little apartment walls, 500 sheets. My brother-in-law, future brother-in-law, her brother, lived right across the complex from me, literally 10 feet away. I got home, and I took my bags in, and I put them down, and lo and behold, a knock on the door. And it was Kathleen. And I'm looking at 500 pictures of Kathleen. She cannot see this, so I dart out the door real quick. And during that time, I had sent her flowers, because Terry said, listen, you need to send her flowers. So I did, and she worked at daycare where her mother is the director there. And as soon as she got those wonderful, beautiful roses, yellow roses, she grabbed those roses and hid them, because she didn't want anybody to know who they were from. And so we go, and she's outside, and I step outside real quick, and she to this day says she saw those things on the wall. Probably did. But to make a long story short, we said, all right, it looks like we got to go out. We went out on a date, don't remember the date, and I just flat out said, listen, I'm 32 years old. This is all or nothing for me. I'm not in the dating scene anymore. I don't want to do this much anymore. I literally quit dating. I did. I was just, I, you know, 32. God said, nope, that's enough. You're done. I didn't think God could do anything. Well, God, I was wrong, and God was right, as always. And so we went out on a date, and the rest is history. We were engaged in December and married in July, the next July. And you say, well, whoa, that was very fast. Well, I had known her for 3 years. You know, I had not, it wasn't just that I, oh yeah, I'm going to get to know you a little bit while we date. No, I had known her. So it was like, and she said, listen, if you want to get married in July, big boy, you need to, we need to get engaged in December. And since then, she's always told me what to do. So, and I do it. But it was that youth conference. It was that youth conference that I'm walking along in the expo. Anybody been to conferences? They have these big expos. And somebody just said, here. And tossed me this backpack filled with all kinds of stuff. And evidently he knew how fast my reflexes were because I had grabbed it right in midair and put it in this bag. And I just walked on, just literally walked on, got a bunch of stuff, went to the conference, came back home, and took the stuff. And I went through it and, you know, throw stuff out. I didn't need it. And I took the bag and I said, oh, maybe someday I'll use this. And I put it in my credenza in my office and left it there. And then in 93 to 95, for 3 summers, we would do this thing in the Bahamas called Teen Scene. And out of this thing called Teen Scene, we would do it at wasn't even a church then. It was brick, just columns of bricks. That was it. And through that, we said, listen, I can bring a team over. And we went and brought a team over. We finished it up, put the roof on it, put the plumbing in it, put the electrical in it. And then they finished up after that. But we did, and we put the concrete floor in after that. We did all that in 4 days. And that was our first main missions trip. Then I took a small group from 2 states, one of them being right here, in 96. 96, I took a group of teenagers to Juarez, Mexico. If you don't know anything about Juarez is one of the world's most dangerous cities today. And yet back then, I took a group of teenagers. I go in where it's dangerous, evidently. I did not know that at the time, but We went in there and we started to build a home there. 98, we took a group to Camp Sparta in Sebring, Florida, and we helped build their, what is now their main auditorium for the camp, and it's a Christian youth camp. In 99, all of a sudden, I was looking for something else because I was getting excited about doing some of these things. I said, man, what was in that bag that I got back in 1992? And I grabbed that bag out, and I look at all the numbers on there, and I'm thinking, they're not even in existence anymore. And I decided, I said, I called that number. And lo and behold, somebody answered that phone. And it was actually, they had moved offices, and they were in Orlando. I said, oh, that's close. And they said, we have a house in Costa Rica. Oh, would you be interested in it? And I said, well, sure, what do I need to do? And I went up there and met with them, and they told me exactly what I needed to do. And I said, this is the perfect opportunity for us to serve. And I, you know, a couple of weeks ago, actually probably a couple of months ago now, I heard Mark Deaver say something, if anybody knows who Mark Deaver is. He said that youth missions is nothing more than a youth vacation. Well, I had to disagree with Mark. Now, for some, it might be. But when it comes to my mission work, it is definitely not a youth vacation. Because I want and I hope that it makes what makes us different than other groups when we go on missions trips is we do it to not only serve others, but we work. And anybody that's ever gone on my trips knows that we work. But it was that trip, 1999, was a trip that changed me forever. That was the first time we had taken over 30 inexperienced teenagers out of the country. Their parents literally gave us permission to do that. We went down to San Jose, Costa Rica. I had never really been there before. We made some great contacts and some friends there. Christians who had the same desires as we had to help others. We finished that home. But what thrilled me more than anything else is when we returned home. Somebody's, my nose is itching this morning. Somebody's talking about me or something. Is that what it is? That old wives' tale, somebody's talking about you or you're talking about somebody, whatever it is. But it thrilled me when we returned home that the teens did nothing but talk about what they had accomplished. And not just what they accomplished, they said, we did it all for the glory of God. And in 2004, I took 39 to do three separate tasks. We did a church, we did a home, and we served the community in three different locations through a medical team. Then through a series of miraculous events, and I could spend all day talking about that, we went back in 2012 to build another home, one that we had promised back to that family in 2004. And I always try to keep my word as best I can. And in 2012 was one that you guys, many of you, helped us with on that great endeavor. And in 2013, we went and took 300 boxes to a church. And because of that effort, by the grace of God, we helped out build that local church, meeting the needs of their children. And all we did was plant the seeds, and God has always done the rest. And all we have to do is like Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, Lord, here am I, send me. Now it is time for us to do something that I've never done before. This summer, I want to take a total of 60 people to build a church, build a missionary center, and to perform work in the community with another medical team. If you take out your insert that you have in your bulletin, you will see the structure that we're wanting to build. The first one right here on the left side is the church. The church faces the off-road that goes off to the side here. The church faces this. And then you have this dining room area. It's a two-story building. The church is big enough as it is. But this is a two-story building. Underneath is going to be a full dining room. And then on top are going to be three. They're going to be used as Sunday school rooms. They're going to be used as sleeping quarters for missionaries. They're going to be used a lot of different things. But right here on the edge of the paper, there is the main road. When they come from down the mountain, the Talamancan Indians come down from the mountain, they walk right through this main road. And one of the things that we're going to do, they want to do with that, is serve breakfast to those Talamanca Indians coming into town town is probably the size of your local community. It's very tiny. But they'll come into town, and everybody that comes into town, whether it's by canoe or whether it's by foot, have to go right through that road. And what a testimony that's going to be, because this missionary center and this church is going to train pastors and missionaries from all over the world. They're doing it right now. We're just going to give them a bigger structure so that they can do more for more people. And it will give these missionaries a time to train them and pastors to train them and to teach them, but also a time so that they can become refreshed. This missionary center will also serve daily, serving meals to the community because they have to walk right by it. Our plans are to have one team working on the church, one team working on the missionary center. We'll kind of all be kind of together there, and one team working in the community. And my wife has the best saying. I love this. Because when you work with the community, you are nothing more than the hands and feet of Jesus. By letting these people in the community know that somebody loves them and cares about them, by providing much-needed medical care, passing out tracts, Bibles, and church information, witnessing to them, or just simply being a blessing to them. So how can you be a blessing? How can you help us? What can you do? First of all, pray for us. Pray for us. We need as much prayer right now. Pray for the right people, that we get the right team. Pray for everyone else that is able to go, that they will meet and raise their money that they need. Pray that we will get all the supplies for the projects that we need, for the church, missionary center, the medical, as well as the community. There's a lot of things that go into a trip like this, and we need it all done before we even go. Pray for the people there. In the little town that we're going to build in is called Shiretka. Sheolis is the suburb of that. Bri-Bri is the big city there. And there are other areas that we will be in contact with, because when we do a project like this, the community comes to see what we're doing and what we're building, because we build things unlike anything that they ever have in that area. We make them to where they are. When they pass by, they will know that it is a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we have done it right, and we need the help to do that. So pray for these people. And pray that the Lord will continue to open up doors for us. We had one open up a few months ago where I had preached this at our church. And there was a gentleman all the way in the back of the church. He comes up to me afterwards and says, "You get in touch with this guy at Harbor Freight. You go down. You purchase your tools. You put them together. I will have them shipped down there, gone through customs, pay all the duty taxes for you to have, and deliver them wherever you want us to deliver them." And about 3 weeks ago, everything was done, and they were they're at the home now, ready for us to put in a truck and take them down and do the work. We had that. And so I want the Lord to continue to open up doors. We need all the material. We need so much more we need for this particular project. And if you are willing to go, we have two trips planned. The first one is from June 27th through July the 6th. The majority of the people will go on this trip. This is for literally anyone that would like to help and be a part of it. Now, there are some people in the medical field that already said they're going to go, but they said they got to be back at work July the 5th. And I said, that's not a problem. We will just have a separate ticket for you, and you'll just not be able to go on the excursion, and you'll fly back to Miami and be able to work on that Tuesday. We'll send you back on Monday. And so that's the first week, the first team that will be going down. Then the second one, there's a little bit of an overlap. They come in on July 4th and head down, and they work through July 13th. And this is what I call the professional team. These are the ones that know how to do drywall. Anyone know how to do drywall in here? These are the electricians, the plumbers, the tile layers, the window installers, you know. I don't know if there's anybody in here that knows any contract work. But these are the professional, this is the professional time that we're going. Hopefully we'll have all the buildings built And then we come in and we put all the finishing touches. I stay there and help try to do whatever I can to get it done. And this is that professional team. So there's two opportunities for you to go. But I can tell you one thing, and Terry put it on his shirt, the T-shirts back in 2012. You go down on a trip, you'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. But all I'm asking is for everyone just to do something. Do something. Catch the vision. See the dream. Act upon it. You know, some of you might not be able to do anything except for contribute. You can't go physically, but you could support somebody that can go. And so we've created a Costa Rica scholarship fund. And so if you can't go, but you're willing to help, that's one way to doing it. And then we can give out scholarships from there. And we've gotten some, that a lot of money that's come in already for that. And you can support all the fundraising efforts that's going to be going on. And I'll be giving my brother a lot of ideas as to what he can do to get things done. And it can get done. You think $2,500, that is one of the most cheapest mission trips that I have ever seen. And I look at all kinds of different people, organizations all the time to make sure that we stay in line. And I want to make sure that I'm always under that substantially. And so you can do it. And I just want you to do something. I love Matthew West's song. Some of you may have known it. But part of the song goes like this. We are the salt of the earth. We are a city on the hill. But we're never going to change the world by standing still. Right now, it's time for us to do something. And like I said, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, if there is breath in you, you can do something. You can be a blessing to someone somehow. The last verse of a great old hymn called Make Me a Blessing says this, give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. You can go to our website that I have there. For those of you that have computers, you can go to our website and see the video that we've made. And you can see the person, the pastor that we're actually going to make it for, these buildings. And so I want you to do this. And I would like for all of you, or as many of you as possible, to be a part of this tremendous opportunity. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, you have given some of us that our mission field is right here. This is our mission field. And Lord, that's great, and that's okay because we have to reach out to those that we come in contact with. But then, Lord, you have sent other people outside of the community to the world. And Father, I pray that as we go on this trip, that Father, that you will bless our endeavor, that you will help supply all of the funds and all of the supplies that are needed to get this project done. So that this project is not just something that's going to help one or two people, but God, this is the potential of helping literally thousands of pastors and missionaries and training them to take the gospel even farther into this world so that not one person will never have that opportunity to hear about your precious love for us. Give us your heart for missions. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.